Welcome. What a fantastic crowd and turnout tonight for one of the biggest snowstorms of the year so far. This is just terrific. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I'm Gloria Kubischak, and I represent the League of Women Voters. And I want to thank the Millen Library, River City's Community Access, and the Mayor's Office for their cooperation in putting together this event. We are just very excited to be able to present this tonight. This particular event will be broadcast on Solaris Channel 3, also on Charter 96 and 985. It will also be live streamed on WRPEG.org. Because of time limitations tonight, after the mayor's address, we will open it up to audience questions. You were given a question card when you entered, and what we are asking you to do is write your question on that card, and also to sign your name and put down a phone number and an email address. That way, if we don't get to all of the questions, the mayor will personally respond to your concern. So without any further ado, I welcome and introduce our Honorable Mayor, Zachary Gerwig.
Good evening. Welcome to my first and what I will hope will be an annual State of the City address. Honored, and our city is honored by your presence here this evening. Your interest in Wisconsin and Rapids future is inspiring to me, but it's also inspiring, hopefully, to each and one of every one of you that's here this evening. Before I begin, I'd like to express my appreciation to our host, the League of Women Voters, and our sponsor, McMillen Memorial Library, and the many volunteers who helped make this event possible this evening. What I will speak to this evening cannot be done by your mayor alone, and action by your city council is essential to making things happen. With that, I'd like to acknowledge all the persons: Bob Nash, Gene Young, Chad Worrell, Andrew Kirkpatrick, Marion Hocamp, and Tom Rayon for their outstanding work that they have done and will continue to do for our city. I'd like to specifically recognize all the persons: Eddie Nelson and Lee Albrecht, who after years of service will step aside from their positions this April. Please join me in expressing appreciation to all of our city council members for their service. Finally, I'd like to take a moment to recognize all our city staff who are sitting over here in this corner. Those in attendance here today, please stand. Now you know how staff meetings work. It is through their hard work every day that allows us to deliver the services we are proud to provide. We could not function without their dedication, and so please join me in recognizing them for their work. This evening here today is to answer a few questions. The first, what has your mayor been up to? Having spent 9 months in office, I know I've been asked it a fair amount, and if you too are wondering, you have come to the right place. And I will do my best in 30 minutes to answer that question. Prior to taking office, I committed to raising the bar and making city government better. In order to do this well, I felt I had to experience firsthand the status quo, or how it was that we delivered the services our residents expected. Immediately upon taking office, and for the past 9 months, I've done this. From riding in the snowplow during a recent winter storm, not today, spending time with night mechanics at the city garage, putting on full turnout gear to train at the fire department's burn house, or the upcoming night shift ride-along with the police department, and many more I have yet to experience. Further, this speaks to my approach to my service as your mayor. There is no way I could expect more from our city without establishing a baseline personally. Understanding the operations satisfies the administration requirement of my role, but does not address entirely the role of being mayor. Following the energy and enthusiasm of the election last spring, I realized I had to be a mayor like none previous. I realized, along with the buzz, the high expectations I had set for myself as your leader were no different than those you had set for me and our community. It was time to begin on a new path of leadership, but engage you, the residents, in the process. I spent a great deal of time thinking about ways to strengthen our community by way of making Wisconsin Rapids a more attractive and competitive city positioned for growth. This thought requires a strong foundation and in many respects, significant shifts from our traditional ways. While it sounds great in theory, it doesn't happen in the mayor's office alone. It happens out in this community. How? By speaking directly with the public in ways not done previously, specifically to engage with residents of all ages in a dialogue about their mayor's role and concerns about city government. Your participation here this evening and in the dialogue following demonstrates you didn't stop by electing a new leader. You aren't expecting the mayor to wave a magic wand to make all the challenges we face go away. Rather, we have residents interested in participating, engaging, and building what is going to be the community's next chapter. So what were some of the ideas of how I can engage better with residents, business, and staff? The first is transparency. Residents stated that in addition to collecting garbage, patrolling our streets, putting out fires, and the like, they wanted to know if and how city leaders were working to make our city a better place. The second was being part of the solution. It is often said people are our greatest asset. I would agree. Whether they are employees or our residents, people possess tremendous amounts of potential when they are engaged. We must first start by believing in ourselves and that our future is bright, if we choose it to be. Shortly after taking office, I called a single meeting with representatives from every real estate firm in our city. I explained that if we expected change in our local economy, the city needed to be, they needed to play an active role with the city. The same was true for our commercial bankers. Improving access to capital for entrepreneurs and existing businesses is critical for business growth and development. Both of these situations, individuals were asked to see themselves as part of a solution, to be engaged with the city and others around a common goal. Our economic well-being is key to realizing the outcome of a more vibrant and prosperous community. While the media can at times frame our local and national economy as gloom and doom, our city's economic story isn't all that bad. I like to think back to 2000 and our community reeling from planned job losses. I think there are many signs that indicate we have made significant progress since then. But I think we all can agree we're not where we want to be. A financially sound local government is an important piece of our community's economic puzzle. Without continued investments in our infrastructure, we cannot achieve the goal of a vibrant and prosperous community. At a time when cities across the country are making cuts to essential services, Wisconsin Rapids continues to provide the outstanding services that residents have come to expect. For starters, I take the responsibility of our city's budget very seriously, knowing full well our residents rely on our services. Further, I intend to do what I can to ensure our residents don't have to pay more for that commitment than they already do. This was demonstrated in our 2013 city tax rate. But we can do more. More on how in a bit. As your mayor on a daily basis, I think about how we can position Wisconsin Rapids for greater success, as a place where our economy is more vibrant and more families can thrive. This takes me to our first priority, building a stronger local economy. But before we talk about how we're working to achieve this, let's understand why and what is the cause for concern. As was highlighted in Vital Signs 2.0, a snapshot measuring the vitality of the greater Wisconsin Rapids area, between 2000 and 2010, our municipality had a decrease in median family income of nearly 14%. This means about $8,400 less to spend. Further, when 4,000 area residents participated in that survey, over 92% said it was their number one priority, and I think we all can agree. Creating an environment that promotes job growth and greater private investment, an environment where companies can prosper, is how we make life better for all of us and ensure our economic progress. All of our decisions made and expended by government, organizations, businesses, and residents must be aligned with this vision. It's why streets and sidewalks matter. It's why top-notch schools matter. It's why a vibrant entertainment district matters. It's why healthy neighborhoods matter. It's why community participation matters. and it's why a well-run city government matters. This begs the question of what I and your local government are doing to build a stronger local economy. So here tonight, I'd like to give you a snapshot of where our work has begun and where we intend to go. When talking about how we go about building our local economy and positioning it for growth, we need to identify whose job is it really? Building a stronger local economy requires many hands. It isn't just government, it isn't just the Chamber of Commerce or the technical college system. It's all of us and you partnered around and aware of a common strategy. Economic growth and economic opportunity are both essential in creating and sustaining a local economy. Workers need training and access to family-supporting employment. Businesses need a supportive climate for growth in order to provide employment and grow. I'd like to take a moment to talk about strategy. It's increasingly critical that communities take regional approaches to economic growth by building on industries and assets that are important and unique. Many manufacturing regions across the country in states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan have developed and experiencing early success around regional approaches to economic development. Over 18 months ago, private businesses, government, education, nonprofits, and philanthropy came together. We agreed a regional approach here was critical to best develop our assets, develop networks and work collaboratively, and to expand the number of existing jobs and attract and grow new business. Reggie was born. Reggie pledged to develop an ultimate outcome is that Southwood County has a healthy and growing economy in which all people and businesses thrive. We realized that if we're going to have a place where all businesses and people can thrive, there were a number of preconditions that needed to be true. The first, organizations needed to be aligned around a common strategy. The second, government needs to be ready to make infrastructure investments. And the third, businesses realize they need to be heard, but they also need to participate. Reggie members will be reaching out in 2013 to build awareness, gain input, and support for a connected strategy. Now, what are we doing within city government to advance the vision of building a stronger local economy? Like Reggie, there's an element of building on our assets. As a city that has available land in our business parks, capacity at our wastewater treatment plant, a great airport, we are positioned for growth without additional significant investments. When I had the opportunity to sit down and speak with the governor 2 weeks ago, I asked him how can our city be a partner in his ambitious job growth plans. We had discussed that if the targets were to become a reality, cities must be viewed positively as economic engines. A few more specific city priorities related to economic growth. After spending time with the city's planning and economic development director and the new Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, we have determined a number of programs. The first, WEDC's new certified sites program. The program caught local attention recently when the mayor of Stevens Point announced what could be the largest certified site in the state. Now, I'm not saying we want to be the largest, but I'm saying that getting ourselves on the map is essential. We realize our city industrial parks with available land, unique amenities compared to those in other parts of the state. WEDC also recognizes this. Through submission of our Rapids East Commerce Center to the Certified Sites Program, we will do just that. So you might ask, what's the significance? Well, the state determined in 2010 that a lack of shovel-ready, pre-certified sites introduces unnecessary risk to prospective industrial investors. Not only is that an issue for the state, but it's also an issue for us as local investors and as local landowners with available land. The benefits include the city property is on an exclusive list, and it's apparent to what restrictions might exist for a company to land there. WEDC is working with a national site selection firm who will provide real-world feedback and input on things the city needs to work on. Not only are those tied to the property. Certified sites are also the comfort level of prospects considering a region by removing unknowns about a site and by accelerating site due diligence and the implementation timeline, which we all know is critical to business success. In essence, it forces the city to get its ducks in a row. The true benefits of certification give developers the green light regarding approvals, documentations, and assessments. Further, the process will help to align our economic development initiatives with the WEDC to be listed, as I mentioned, on a worldwide site locator. This will allow matchmakers, when identifying possible sites, to realize the assets of our community alongside cities such as Beloit, Janesville, Madison, and West Bend. The second opportunity we've identified is the redevelopment of blighted and brownfield properties. A qualifying criterion of our TIF, which happens to be on the screen in front of you. We're excited to announce that we are going to pursue the creation of a $500,000 fund to leverage CDBG, Community Development Block Grants, with a state match. Through the elimination of contamination on property, developers will be in a better position to make investments in redevelopment. Building a strong local economy can't fall on what has traditionally fallen exclusively on economic development efforts. It's much more than that. This was highlighted in a recent conversation I had with Lincoln High School's new principal concerning the drop in enrollment. And this leads us to priority number two. The message from our conversation we had recently was clear. There's so much more we can do to encourage our young people. And secondly, we cannot afford to continue to lose students in our school system. So what do we do about this? I'm often reminded that by those that relocated to our city, that one of our major assets is our unrivaled educational system. Part of how we position our city for long-term, sustainable success requires creating opportunities for young adults and families to engage and thrive right here in our own community. Hooking youth, who will be our community's future workforce, in at an age where they want to go off to college and bring skills that they have accrued back to this community, will pay dividends to our long-term economic development efforts. We don't want to be a platform where area youth leave with no intentions to come back. A recent example of this in which the city participated in was the heavy metal bus tour, where local manufacturers, schools, organizations, and government partnered to give students a real-life view of local manufacturing. And that manufacturing jobs exist right here in our own community today. Another message that our employers tell us is that if we don't do enough to build a community where people want to return to, filling the pipeline to meet future workforce needs will force them to relocate or expand elsewhere. Recently, I had the chance to be a part of a session in our community leadership program. The exercise entailed participants in groups expressing their concerns in three areas. Besides the economy and quality of life, one key piece stuck with me. That stated a lack of civic engagement opportunities, not only for young adults and families, but really for people of all ages. I've shared the same experience as I grew up in this community, attended school here, and watched most of my peers graduate and couldn't wait to be springboarded outside of this community, many never to return. I thought about what it had been if I had done the same thing that my peers had done. But now as I look around this community today, there's a number of people from my own graduating class who are in leadership roles in various organizations. I commend them for making the decision to come back to Wisconsin Rapids and make our community a better place. In that sense, a priority of mine is to engage youth at various ages. I feel very strongly that a community that prioritizes and bets on youth and its future is a community that will thrive and prosper. I am pleased to announce that we'll be launching our city's first Mayor's Youth Council. I feel that when our youth are at the table and being heard, they're much more likely to return to the community where they had a stake in making a better place. By engaging and inspiring our youth, our community has promise of emergence. This initiative will center on a partnership between city government and our local school system. Further, I feel that if our community will realize its full potential in this respect, we must provide opportunities not only for our youth, but for people of all ages. It's another concept, or more of a vision, that we are going to be introducing in April of this year that seeks to bridge the disconnect between people and civic engagement opportunities, a platform from the mayor's office we're calling Rapid Serves. As I mentioned, details on this initiative will be announced in April. Regardless of a person's ability or person's age, their opportunity to participate in this community is essential. Realizing positive community change cannot happen without a change in the way the city does business. So I'd like to take the time to walk us through how the city intends to review the way it does business, and that is our final priority here tonight. Let's start with a vision. When you think of city government, do any of these words in front of you come to mind? User-friendly, engaging, proactive, responsive, innovative? I think various parts of city government may meet one or more, but there are ways we can do much better. Residents, fairly so, expect us as a city to answer the question of how we're going to do the same or more with the resources we already have. When it comes to effectiveness and efficiency of our city government, we accomplish this by doing less of the unnecessary. I understand that this can mean many different things to many different people, but our government should always be finding new and more efficient and effective ways of doing business. Residents expect this too. One of the ways is to eliminate the unnecessary and improve our services to you through applying the principles of Lean Six Sigma. Although more commonly used in the business world, Lean Six Sigma is becoming very much more common in the realm of government. Through the use of Lean Six Sigma, government agencies have the ability to streamline their processes and achieve dramatic results. What this means for government is improved productivity, efficiency, and savings, while improving on the quality of services we already offer. An example of Lean in action would be our Planning and Economic Development Department. Many wonder what are the points in government that stifles growth? Well, the low-hanging fruit in this situation would be the permitting process. Some of it relies on changes to ordinances that have already been updated this last year, but others tie to requirements and timing and issues that are currently in place. Lean Six Sigma is also an opportunity for us to empower, for the first time, our frontline employees by engaging them in ways of trying to find new and better ways to deliver services. Our employees can then have a voice for the first time in making positive change. How can we improve the number of people that are, in this case, pulling the correct permits in the example shared before? Or how can we ensure that we have the correct inspections performed? Not only are these tied to efficiency or revenues, but they're also life safety of our residents and businesses in our community. The second way we intend to change and improve the way we do business at city government is through our budgeting process. Today, our budget is heavily allocated based on wages or bodies, not based on their activities or duties over the course of the year. It is basically an incremental approach where we look at historical costs and increase them incrementally each year. It serves as no plan for where we're going. Instead of the old way of using the budget, we need to find a new way to use it as a tool to meet objectives and outcomes that our residents desire. Activity-based budgeting, the process requires identification of activities, the estimation of community demands, an estimation of the costs and resources needed to provide the demanded activity delivered. A large benefit of this satisfies the need of being transparent. Traditionally, we have used the line item budget, but this looks to historical expenses to drive the budget allocation. The biggest criticism of line item budgeting is that it presents very little useful information to decision makers on the functions and activities of government. For example, the question I've asked: how many years does it take to maintain our entire street system? And how many miles of streets can we maintain in a given year? At present, a simple answer is difficult to come by. There are many applications in which data and using data and employing data through the budget process will be critical. The final way we are going to improve the way the city does business is through the introduction of technology. A typewriter, a pen, and paper may have been the most efficient at some point. Today, I know firsthand things are different. Whether it's the way our residents sign up for recreational programs, pay property taxes, access information online, pull a building permit, residents should be able to do so online, in addition to visiting City Hall or picking up the phone. In closing, when I came into office, I pledged to make city government more engaging, responsible, and accessible to all. I want to know your ideas, your concerns, and your suggestions. We are partners in building a better community. That's why I continue to meet with residents and open my door for conversations. It's why in major decisions, I make sure we're always gathering information from citizen committees and local businesses. I'm equally committed to using new methods and new technologies to ensure that more people can provide input regardless of any time of the day. This includes advancing the outstanding work of our departments, some have done already with social media, and how residents can communicate with local government. In addition to you being here this evening, I ask for you to tell someone who isn't here what our priorities are and how the community can play a role in them. When leaving here tonight, you will receive a handout, and you will see a number of ways you can engage with the mayor. For those that choose to use technology and are active in social media, there is a way to do that. For those who have access to email, please send me an email. And for those who prefer to talk in person or pick up the phone, there's a way to do that. This is part of an ongoing dialogue I'd like to have that involves providing our residents an update. This doesn't have to be a yearly event, and residents shouldn't have to wait a year to know what's happening around our city. Our work is just beginning. Our work doesn't start and stop with one initiative or one project. Our work is ongoing, and I want you to be part of it. If you have interest in taking part or in making our community a more vibrant and prosperous place, you can do so by simply reaching out to an interest that speaks to you. When I look around Wisconsin Rapids in 2013, even in challenging times, I see a city with a strong foundation and strong finances. I see a community determined to do everything it can to make a place where good jobs can exist, businesses can prosper, and families can thrive. When I look at Wisconsin Rapids in 2013 and beyond, I see opportunity. Our city has many assets, our largest being you, our residents. The people of this community are what really matters, and your presence here tonight gives me hope that our best days are still to come. Working together, we can make amazing things happen. You believed in me last April, and we must continue to believe in ourselves. The time is now. Thank you all for coming, and safe travels home this evening. I look forward to your questions.
If you have questions, just raise your hand. We'll collect them, and I'll give them to the mayor.
Question here is why can't our local paper mills work and equipment and retool to produce some hydropower for our town? Well, that is a big question, and while I can't entirely answer the question here tonight, if somebody wants to grab me before I leave, I'd be glad to maybe have a conversation about some of the challenges with this piece. I know downstream with the former Domtar paper mill in Port Edwards, there's been discussions in terms of how they can maybe utilize the existing capacity there with the hydroelectric dam that was used to power the paper machine in the past. Specifically, I know the hydro dams in our community today are used by the paper machines to produce power for their operations in our city, but I can't speak for the others in our immediate region, but I'd be glad to answer that question later. What opportunities have you had to represent the city at state and national level, and how did they go? Well, most recently, as I referenced in the remarks this evening, was a conversation when the governor came to town to address the chamber annual dinner. It was a great opportunity. It was the first time the governor had been to our city since he had taken office. So I took the opportunity, as did the chamber president and others, to talk about some of the work that we've got going here. I'm not sure if he was really aware of what was happening. He understood where he was coming, I think, in the sense that he knew a little bit about myself and others. So I think in that sense, just being on his radar was a big key. In terms of on the national level, recently attended the National League of Cities Conference in Boston, which provided great opportunities around economic development and citizen engagement, which were two pieces I talked at great length about tonight. And I would say that both events went very well. What's interesting about our city is, obviously, we're a city, but we don't have very unique challenges in the sense that there are other communities experiencing very similar challenges we face. And so the better we're able to reach out to our networks state and national levels, I think the better we're able to learn new models and kind of take the blinders off at times what we think are the best solutions right here. So good question. Thank you. Next question. Has Wisconsin Rapids explored the idea of having a sister city? And has it ever had one? Very good question. A question was raised to me during the campaign about partnering with a sister city, and I think there will be a number of good candidates based on the diversity in our community that might be a good fit, something I'd be glad to explore. And has progress been made in simplifying city ordinances? I can speak to one that I referenced just briefly in the remarks, and that was our sign code recently. It took it down from, I can't speak to how many pages, far more pages than what it needed to be back in the 80s, to much more simplistic form outside of the code and more of a more easier to understand. It's defined with much more current definitions. For example, electronic signs were not referenced in the sign code. Of course, in the 80s, electronic signs were not in inception at that point. So that could be one we're speaking to. There's others in the planning and economic development area that we are looking at but have not proposed anything official to clean them up and simplify them. The third question on the card is, why can't Wisconsin Rapids Police Department enforce city ordinances rather than employ ordinance officers? That's another valid question, and I would say that we just recently had a conversation about how we can make our current ordinance officers more effective. And part of it is going in with the right expectations up front, right? And making sure that they're aware of what enforcement pieces they're able to do. But I can speak to the piece on the police department that I would encourage our police department officers and those that are patrolling the streets to communicate, and I'm guessing they already do, about code enforcement issues. But even taking that a step further, one of the pieces that I referenced in technology is there's no reason that we can't be able to have our residents report code violations or code issues via a smartphone or an email or a text into the city. In fact, many cities have already done so. So that's something that we're exploring. I don't have a timeline on that yet, but that would be something we're exploring. Hence, the code enforcement officers could maintain or could do less of circulating the city trying to find out where the issues are and really following up on the issues that are already reported. Next question. How often do we, not the department heads, analyze the amount of equipment we own as to quantity and utilization? It's a very good question. In fact, I'd welcome a conversation with residents. I would guess the department heads, there's a number of them here tonight that deal with the amount of equipment that we have. Obviously, with construction and all the street repair and maintenance we do, necessitates a lot of equipment. So I'd be glad to see your phone name and phone numbers on the card, so I'll be reaching out to you for a follow-up on that question. Next question, what are your plans to make the city more sustainable? I think there's a lot of areas where we can make ourselves more sustainable. It could start with basically our fleet maintenance and our fleet ownership, that we set more guidelines in terms of parameters of what our fuel consumption is, right, just on the basic level. But there's a lot larger things we can do in terms of sustainability and our energy footprint. I think that's what you're speaking to in the question. And City Hall is a prime example of one that and look at Matt Heidemann, he's here tonight, but he can maybe provide some more detail or data on how much we've been able to reduce our footprint just in that facility alone by introducing some new energy efficiency plans. But I'd be glad to have a conversation again about maybe a sustainability plan for the city. At present, we don't have much that talks about like a working plan or an action plan for us to improve on. Next question, what are the short-term plans for the Triangle, which is defined as the Jackson and Market Baker Street area? Well, the short-term plans is there's supposed to be an introduction of a roundabout. Now, it's uncertain if that's going to be installed this year or this year entirely or this year or next year. So in terms of the infrastructure of the street, that's right there. But it is identified in the waterfront plan as an area that's potentially ripe for redevelopment. And that could be one of those places that if the residents and the community feels a good fit would be a piece that maybe the blight elimination, it's in the TIP, and it could be a fit for that piece as well. So follow up with me if you have future ideas as well for that area. Next question. What is the status of the roundabout on Baker and Market Street? Answer that question. Unfortunately. So, we need leadership in the town of Grand Rapids. Think about it. Statement, so I won't answer that question. That I've enjoyed working with the leadership in Grand Rapids for the last 9 months. Would you and your staff support Wisconsin Rapids earning the designation of a bird city? We are a tree city, but I couldn't find it on the city website. Well, that's one of many issues I have with the city website as well, is that there isn't a lot of information at my fingertips or at anybody else's fingertips. So this, we bring up 2 points and really 2 questions. The bird city, yeah, absolutely, just be careful in terms of what commitments it has. We've got a geese population along riverbanks, and I'm not certain by obligating ourselves to being a bird city what that precludes us from trying to take care of that issue on the riverbanks. So very good questions. Any other questions? Gloria, any questions in the back? I can't see from up here. Can't tell anyone.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thank you all for being here this evening. I hope that you were able to learn something. The department heads are here. They're going to hang around for a little bit. There's a few older persons. At least one, I'm looking at them over there. So make sure you get them with questions you might have before they leave, because they put me in the hot seat up here to speak tonight. I think they deserve a little bit of question and answer as well. So again, thank you for being here, and hope that we can have a good dialogue.